Lord, on this Easter morning, help us to not just hear your story, but help us to participate in your story. Help us this day to not look at it as just words on a piece of paper, but rather to have an experience of knowing you as our Lord, as our God, as someone who's personal to us. So be with us now. In all the conditions that we've brought into this place, help us to enter into your reality with those conditions and then leave transformed just because of you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, happy Easter. You know, I never, each year, you know, I come to this and each year I say, what am I going to do this year? I have no clue most of the time, and if you know me well enough, you know I probably don't have a clue most of the time anyway. But it's so interesting because the story of the resurrection, the story of that morning that we celebrate today is such a powerful story. But you have to go into it not just looking as a story that's being told to you, but rather a story that you're participating in. That's truly what this is about, is participating in walking with Jesus right straight through death into his resurrection so that we can know and trust that we too will walk right straight through death, through the valley of the shadow of death, right into the resurrection. You know, as I look at this story, it's always amazing to me because the beginning of this story tells that Mary, the good, no offense guys, but the ladies usually are the ones that usually step in here, okay? Mary is Mary Magdalene. And Mary goes to the tomb early on that morning, that third day. Jesus has died 2 days before. And here she is. She shows up at the tomb. When she gets to the tomb, she finds the stones rolled away. And she looks in, and it's empty. She immediately goes and says, well, I've got to go tell Peter and, you know, the other disciples. And so she goes and she tells Peter. Now, this is the part that I always like. She goes to tell Peter, and it says very clearly in the scripture we just heard read, it says that Peter and the disciple that Jesus liked best, which, by the way, this is the Gospel of John. Guess who the disciple Jesus liked best is? They run to the tomb. Now, guess who wins? The disciple Jesus liked best. And when they get there, he stops. Peter, who is always putting his foot in his mouth, who's always out ahead of everybody, runs right smack dab into the tomb. There they find the wrappings, but they find that the tomb is empty. At that, the disciple Jesus loves best, John, runs in and looks too. They look at it all. They take it all in. They don't know what to do with it. I wonder how many of us have ever been like that. We take it all in and we don't know what to do with it. And then they leave and says they go back home. Now, ladies, here you come in again. Mary doesn't leave. She stays. And she weeps and she grieves and she cries. She's in great distress. She's depressed. And she looks inside and she sees two angels in there. They ask her, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And at that point, all of a sudden, Jesus comes behind her and says, woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for? She has a conversation with Jesus, but she doesn't recognize Jesus until Jesus says her name, Mary. Mary. And at that point, she realizes who it is, and she says, Rabboni. And she goes up, and what I always believe happened was she goes to give him a hug. Because he says immediately, don't hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. Don't hold on to me. You know what? It doesn't say don't touch me. It says don't hold on to me. Jesus got touched many times by many people, you know, after his resurrection. And touching was fine. I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, that evening he goes in and he passes through the doors and he's with the disciples and they touch him. They actually share meals with him and stuff. Thomas, the next week, you know, Thomas, touch my hand. Put your hand in my side. Jesus is touched all the time by people. But he tells them not to hold on to him. Why? Why is it that Jesus does not want Mary specifically today, but others to hold on to. I think it's because he says right after, because I have not yet ascended to heaven, don't hold me back. Don't hold me back. I mean, have you ever had somebody in your life that you wanted to keep right in that place where they were, and by God, let them change? Have you ever had a relationship where you said, oh, it was so wonderful on our wedding day. Where did it go? Have you ever had that setting within yourself where you wanted to hold someone back and not make them move on? It may have been someone who had died, and somehow you go where every year you celebrate that anniversary of their death, and you remember, and you try and say, I've got to remember, I've got to honor them. And that honoring is good, and I'm all for that honoring. But you can't hold them and freeze them in time. Each one of us, no matter where we are in our life, is continually moving, growing, shaping, and moving together. In marriage, the biggest failure in marriage, as far as I'm concerned, is where two people don't grow together. They grow apart, but they're still both growing. One might say at the other, I don't think they're growing at all, but they're growing. They're growing in their own direction, but it's growing together. Mary was told by Jesus, don't hold on to me, don't hold me back, because I'm continuing to become more of what I'm supposed to be. But Jesus was also saying to Mary, don't hold yourself back either. I mean, how many of us hold ourselves back? I mean, I always love that story of the guys that's about my age. He's in his 60s, and he's all he can ever do is talk about, yeah, when I was in high school, I was a great football star. You know, I remember back in the day. The truth of the matter is, that day is gone. All you have is the present. And when you hold yourself back by trying to just reminisce about the great things that you did before, or, you know, we didn't do it that way. In the church, you hear that all the time. We didn't do it that way. The truth of the matter is you're holding yourself back. We've got to move on. We've got to go forward, because it's moving forward that God is present with us. You know, even in the desert, when Moses leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt, through the desert in the promised land, they didn't get out of Egypt and get into the desert and say, well, let's just take 2 weeks vacation. They kept moving all those 40 years. They moved in circles, which a lot of us do all the time. But they moved forward. I guess the point that really struck me in this year's gospel, and trust me, I've read this gospel quite a few times before, but the part that struck me more than anything else is how we are called to not hold back God, not hold back ourselves, and not hold back others, and not to be held back. To realize that you are in a constant movement forward. Even when you're sleeping, you're moving forward. Your body is rehealing itself. We're constantly going forward, and God calls us to move forward. And we can't sort of hold on to it. We have to hold on to it this way. Yeah, I love to tell the story about when I first got into recovery from alcoholism, and I went in probably about a couple of months into it, and when I went in to see my therapist, I told her this whole certain set of circumstances, and she looked at me at the end of my counseling session. She said, just hold on. Just hold on. And then the next week I went in, I had the same set of circumstances, and she looked at me after I did the whole same litany all over again. She said, just let go. Just let go. And I looked at her, I said, well, do you want me to hold on or let go? And what I really believe what she was saying is, you know what? You hold on to the things that are important, but you don't hold on to the things that hold you back. What are you held back in today? What's holding you back? What is it that keeps you from moving forward into the next place? Because the truth of the matter is, if it's fear, then it's not real. Because fear is cast out with faith. And if you are with God and God is calling you forward, then you got to move forward, even if it is fearful. You got to stay on the adventure, on this journey that God has led us into. Because this life is a full journey. It's an adventure. It's not a destination. It's where all of a sudden we go forward to become all we're supposed to be. That we are transformed in the process. But will you take this information and do anything with it? That's the question. You know, I remember a story about a very successful Italian man who decided he needed to go to Italy for business. And so he went actually into a bank, and he went into the bank and he said, look, I need to borrow $5,000 because I am going to Italy for business, and I need to borrow $5,000 to get there. And the banker, the loan officer, looked at him and said, well, to have a loan like that, we're going to need some collateral. And he goes, well, my Ferrari is parked right out in front of the bank. Why don't you take that Ferrari and use it as collateral? And so the man looked at him and said, well, okay. And the man produced the title and produced all the papers that he needed, and bam, he was approved, you know, with the Ferrari as collateral. He was approved of the loan immediately and given $5,000. Man left. After the man left, the bank officer went out, he got the car, he took it out, he parked it downstairs in the private, you know, parking of the bank, and he held up, went upstairs. But everybody was kind of puzzled in the bank because they were thinking, you know, why is this guy borrowing $5,000 on a $250,000 Ferrari? They checked him out and they found out that this man was worth millions, millions. Well, 2 weeks go by and the man finally comes back from Italy, and he comes back in to get his car, and he comes in and he repays the $5,000 plus $15.41 for the interest that he owed on the loan. And everybody looked and said, you know, it was great doing business with you. It was wonderful that, you know, that everything went right. And all of a sudden, you know, the bank officer says, but I got to ask you a question. You know, we know you're worth millions. Why did you borrow $5,000 from us and use your Ferrari as collateral? The man looked at him and said, well, where else in New York City can I leave a $250,000 Ferrari and not have to worry about it? The guy was smart. How smart are we? How smart are we? Are we smart enough to take the understanding of the faith, the understanding of the gospel? Are we smart enough to take the experience of knowing that Jesus Christ is really with you in today, and to take this information, and like Mary, who had a lot to fear, and the disciples, who had even more to fear, to go and use it in your life, to proclaim it in the world about you? Because when you give it away, it becomes more back to you. You can't hold on to it. It's not something that you hold on to. It's something you hold on to in a different way. It's where all of a sudden you realize in the midst of yourself on this day that, you know what, John wasn't the disciple that Jesus liked best, that maybe I am or you are. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ came here personally for you. And if it's not personal, then it's not worth anything. It's got to be real in your heart for you. This is not a corporate celebration and you go home and you forget it. This is a personal experience and you go home and you use it. That's what the resurrection is. That's what Jesus did in our lives. Will I do that? Will you do that? Jesus said to Mary, don't hold on to me, because I haven't ascended to my Father. But you go tell the disciples, I'm ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. You have a God this day that is personally interested in you and you alone, as if you were the only person that walked this earth. And he's good for everything. And he will never, ever leave you. And he just wants you to become all that you're called to be. As you come to Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing that God is there to be encountered, to be experienced, and to go home with you, and to live with you, and to walk you through everything that you experience in this life, and then actually walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.